the truth of the gospel. Remember, as we talked about, there was people who came into the churches of Galatia. They would creep in and they would try to, first of all, they would challenge Paul's apostleship. They said he's not a real apostle. He's like a Johnny come lately. He didn't walk with Jesus for those 3.5 years. And Paul answers that he wasn't called by man. He was called by God. And then he begins to also give a argument for the fact that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. And we see that these Judaizers had come into the churches. And I've told you this explanation before, over and over. Paul goes on his missionary journeys, and Paul goes and he wins people to Christ, and he starts churches. And even in this area of Galatia, at this spot, he was stoned, he was put in jail. There was many, many things that happened to the Apostle Paul. He had sweat, and you know, people say they had drops of sweat and blood and building something. Paul had done that. Paul had given his life for the cause of Christ, and in these churches, he had began these churches. This was important to him. And as he got in with these churches, he started discipling them. He appointed people to be preachers. There's at least 5 or 6 churches in this Galatia area. And then after he leaves to continue on his missionary journey, what happens? This group of people, which we call them Judaizers, they were Jews that would say, not only do you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you would have to also obey the law or you cannot be saved. So in chapters 1 and 2, Paul begins to dismiss these things. He begins telling them, look, I, through my own personal testimony, this was not true. He says, the time that we all went up to Jerusalem, Titus, Barnabas, and they met with all the head people of the church of Jerusalem, they all agreed with me that what I was teaching was right and what I was preaching was right. They offered their right hand of fellowship. They said, as you go to the Gentiles, we'll go to the Jews, things like that. And then he begins to talk about a personal testimony in chapter number 2 about one time when he stood toe-to-toe with Peter, corrected Peter in front of a whole group of people. So we see him telling the Galatians personal experience after personal experience after personal experience why that the salvation is by grace and through faith and not by works. So in chapter number 3, he kind of puts the ball back in their court. He begins asking them questions, penetrating questions, trying to get them to understand why the Judaizers are wrong. And so let's look here. Galatians chapter number 3, let's look in verses 1 through 5. It says, O foolish Galatians. Not a very good beginning, is it? Calling them fools. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, teach us the things you want us to learn. Lord, you've included this in your canon of Scriptures. There's things here you want us to consider. There's things here you want us to understand. And Lord, I pray that each of us, on purpose, tries to hear tonight what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a few things in this world that are more disappointing or more tragic than when a person who has a Christian deserts the purity of the gospel. When they change over from believing in the truth of what they've taught and learned for themselves, and they've seen the change in their life, and they change over to a false form of Christianity. And what they do is they try to add things to the work of Jesus Christ. And the sad thing here is that when people try to add things to Jesus Christ, they're diminishing the work. Go up to the end of last verse in chapter number 2. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. They're saying, look, if you're going to say that you can get saved through the righteousness, through your own righteousness, through your own works, then Christ died in vain. There was no purpose for him to die. But this is the basics of our Christianity, is that Jesus Christ had to die for our sins. And we needed that atonement. We needed to be bought back. We needed to be redeemed. And they're saying, if you're going to say that you can work your way to heaven, then why in the world did Jesus Christ die in the first place? And one of the saddest things is you see that people are taught and they're trained and then they are fooled or become foolish in believing false doctrines. And this is the first point. Is the first question is there was questions regarding their seducers. Questions regarding their seducers. See this word foolish here. This word foolish here is anatoos, as signifying senseless. He's saying to these church of Galatians, he says, you're not using your mind. He says, what in the world has gotten into you? Why are you allowing these people to bewitch you? The Lord uses this noun and the idea of those two that were walking on the road to Emmaus, how they were slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. This is also the term that Paul uses when he talks about how he's described himself as a debtor, both to the wise and the unwise. And this word bewitch means baskakineo, and it occurs only once. But what it means is to fascinate or to hypnotize. You ever seen a snake hypnotize something with its eyes? You've seen, I don't know if you've seen it before, you can go and watch how a snake sometimes with their eyes can hypnotize maybe a mouse or a boa constrictor can go and cause something gets to stand completely still. That's what these people come into this church of Galatia. These Galatians were not using their mind. They were being foolish and they were not believing in the things that God had already put forth to them and had already given to them, and they were being bewitched. They were being hypnotized. They were being taken away from the truth. This expression here, you keep on going, says that should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. That word evidently set forth is talking about it being proclaimed or placarded. And it's the idea that they're showing forth, that Jesus Christ had been showed forth, that Jesus Christ had been crucified, and that they were that was put forth to them, and that now they're allowing these people to bewitch them. Paul demands, he says, who are these people who are trying to confuse you and to bewitch you? You say, Pastor, I get what you're saying here, but how does that apply to our lives today? Well, so this is probably one of the most things that a Christian can take away with them tonight, is we need to be careful. There are going to be people out there in the world who will try to confuse us, who will try to bewitch you, who will try to get you to do anything they can to get away from the truth of the gospel. See, the devil hates this book. The devil hates everything that comes with the pure gospel. The devil hates the fact that it's by grace, through faith, that they don't have to work. And the devil will do whatever it can to try to cause people to get away from the truth. He'll do whatever he can. He'll start false religion after false religion, cult after cult after cult. And you know what he'll do? He'll try to tell them, and he'll try to convince them. You know what they'll do? They'll take certain parts of the scriptures, and they'll emphasize certain things without giving credence to all the things. You think about some of the things that are found in the scriptures. You know, in the Bible it says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Oh, we know that the sign of tongues have passed, but they take that one scripture and they can misconstrue it. The other scriptures, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Think about where the Bible says the dead know not anything. See, certain places and certain cults will take those little phrases found in the Bible, not giving credence to the interpreting the scriptures in regard to context, with regard to scope, with the idea of the purpose of the book, who it was written to, the time period it was written to, the dispensation it was written to. And what they will do is they will take certain lines out of the Bible and build their faith based off of that line and not the truth of the Word of God. And that's what the Judaizers are doing here. They knew all these scriptures. They knew all about being all the law, and they used certain parts of the law, and they were trying to convince them the importance of them following the law. And what they did, they were completely taken in. They were hooked in. They just did not want, they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. You know, that's, I don't know if there's anything else much sadder than that. I think the Apostle Paul had gone through and done all this work, all this discipleship, all this teaching, all this training, and what happens? These people would come in behind them. Say, who would do that? People that are being used by the devil. Yes. I mean, I'm sure that they were intently, wasn't the Apostle Paul doing it for the cause of Christ when he went and tried to kill all those Christians? In his mind, he was doing it for God, wasn't he? I'm telling you that there are people out there who are sincerely serving, but they're sincerely serving wrong too. Because if it's contrary to the Bible, we need to be on guard. That's what the verses we talked about this past Sunday. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming a time because the days are evil. We need to learn what the Bible says and the truths of the Bible. You say, Pastor, some of this stuff isn't as exciting as some other messages. Some of these truths are things that are a little bit boring to take in. So this is the Bible. This is what we need to learn so that way people will not bewitch us, that people will not confuse us, that people will not try to trick us into believing something that is not the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 says, But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. Now the Bible says you need to be on guard. You need to be careful. You need not to let just anybody trick you. That's why you got to be careful who you listen to. So I'm smart enough, I'm strong enough to watch this guy on TV, or I'm strong enough to listen to this person on the radio. And I'm sure there's plenty of good people out there, but you need to be careful. You need to test it according to the Word of God and see what the truth says and what the Bible says. And we need to be careful. The Bible says in Galatians, at the end of Galatians, and we'll get there later on, in Galatians 5:7 says, Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He says, look, you were doing good. You were running well. You did good. Now, what caused you to stop believing the truth that was, as it says here, is whose eyes have been evidently set forth? You know, Jesus Christ was set forth in front of you. You believed in Jesus Christ. Now, what has caused you? Who has caused you to change that belief? Don't ever think that we've come so strong, gotten so smart and so wise that we can that no one can change us. I've seen pastors that gone down the wrong road in their belief systems because they listen to other people, and it's contrary to the Bible. And today they're maybe in different denominations or in different beliefs, and just because of the fact that they've let someone come in and creep in and change what they believe according to the Word of God. This is important. This is true. This is why we have Wednesday night Bible studies and Sunday school classes, and we go through books of Galatians instead of just going through certain parts of the Bible and preaching the same thing over and over. We want the whole counsel of God. We want to understand what Scripture says. And that's what Paul is telling these churches of Galatia, these churches of Galatia. He says, look, you were doing well. He says, someone has come in and they have bewitched you. They have fooled you. They have hypnotized you into believing a false doctrine. Okay, second thing. That was regarding their seducers. This is regarding their salvation. Questions regarding their salvation. You come to verse number 2, and he says, This only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He says, look, did you get saved by doing the works of the law, or did you get saved by hearing the faith, words of faith? And that's what he's just putting it right out there. Did you get saved because of something you did, or did you get saved because you heard the faith, the hearing of the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He says, how did you get saved? And he goes back to the beginning. He says, you've been fooled, you've been bewitched, you've been foolish. What were you thinking? And he comes in verse number 2, and he says, hey, look, how did you get saved in the first place? Was it because you earned something, because you worked something, or because you heard it? And this is where the great divide becomes between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The law says do, grace says done. The law says try, grace says trust. The law says behave, grace says believe. Law points to the commandments, grace points to Jesus Christ. And the weakness of the law is the flesh, and the wonder of grace is the Holy Spirit of God. What we need to understand is that it goes down to back to our experience of when we got saved. How did they get saved? And that's what Paul's saying. How did you get to become Christian? How did you have the Holy Spirit of God to come and live inside you? When did you receive the Spirit of God? Did you receive it when you started obeying the law like these Judaizers are telling you? Did you receive it when you became circumcised? Did you receive it when you started obeying the Sabbath? Did you receive it when you did these things? Or did you receive it when you heard the Word of God and accepted it by faith? So that's the penetrating question when it comes to their salvation. See, there's an inherent weakness with the law. It cannot produce a spiritual life. Louis Pasteur one day taught. He said he picked up a sterilized sealed flask before his audience. He says, this is devoid of life. He says, I can keep it for 100 years and it will still be devoid of life. I can beg with it, I can plead with it to produce a life form, and even in the humblest forms, it still remains unmoved by my pleas. There's no life without antecedent life. And this is the law of biogenesis. This is the idea that the law cannot produce life. Only life can beget life. And the inherent weakness here that is with the law is that it cannot produce a spiritual life. Think about the rich young ruler. We all know him. He came to Jesus Christ and he says, what must I do in order to be saved? And Jesus began listing some of the commandments and he could look him straight in the face and says, I've done all that from my youth up. And you know what? He still wasn't saved. He knew in his own heart he was missing something. He knew in his own heart he lacked something that Jesus Christ had. And Jesus Christ then replies to him and proves to him that he may have kept the letter of the law, but no one could keep the spirit of the law. And he walks away saddened because of the fact that he was unwilling to exchange his law for life. And that's what we do when we become a Christian. We accept Jesus Christ's payment for us. We can't do it on our own, but we believe he can. No amount of doing this or doing that or doing this or not doing that will create a spiritual life. The Bible says it was weak through the flesh. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so that's what he's telling these churches in Galatia here. He's saying, hey, look, go back to your day of salvation. Go back and remember, if you truly got saved, did you do it by keeping the law? Or did you do it by hearing the word of God and accepting him? Third thing, questions regarding the sanctifications. Questions regarding sanctifications. Look at verse number three. It says, are you so foolish? I know that doesn't sound very nice, but it reminds of a modern day term. Are you that dumb? I mean, come on. Are you really that stupid? I mean, come. And I had a list of what they call politically correct people that aren't that smart, what you can say, you know, being a few fries short of a happy meal, things like that. But I figured if I read all those, that would be a little bit probably not good. So it's this idea when you look at people and you see what they do and you're like, you got to be smarter than that. I mean, sometimes you see somebody do that, don't you? We see our kids, we see adults, and we say, you have to be smarter than that. You just cannot be thinking. And that's what he's saying here in verse number three. He says, aren't you smarter than that? Are ye so foolish? Are you really that dumb that you could be taken in? And that's what he's saying here in verse number three. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now, if the Holy Spirit is the one that converted you, if the Holy Spirit was the one that brought you to Christ, if the Holy Spirit is the one that you're indwelled by now, are you going to turn back to the law? And that's the point. In his sanctification, he's saying, look, are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? How can you be saved by the Spirit of God and then now made perfect by keeping the law? If the law couldn't save you, how in the world is the law going to make you perfect? It's just not going to happen. And here's the truth that is being taught here. And Paul is trying to tell these churches of Galatia, don't be so dumb. Don't be so naive. Yes, you were born again by the Spirit of God. I was there when that happened. I saw that happen. You had the Spirit of God in your life. He indwelt you. Now, why in the world would you turn back? See, the validity of good works in God's sight depends on whose power it's done in. The validity of good works, it's done for whose glory it's done for. We are saved by the Spirit. The Bible commands us to walk in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, our good works will solely be for God's honor and not for our own validation. And that's why the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And this is the truth that he's trying to tell him. Look, the flesh and the spirit are two completely different things. You cannot appease and please the flesh and please the spirit at the same time. They war against one another. They fight against one another. They are contrary to one another. And this is the idea here that he's trying to say, are you so foolish that you began with the Spirit and now you think in your flesh you can do this on your own? I mean, why was the law given? It was given to control the flesh. But in the Spirit, you have freedom and liberty to serve Jesus Christ as you will. the fourth thing, not only is it regarding their seducers and their salvation and their sanctification, but also regarding their sufferings. Regarding their sufferings. Look what it says in verse number 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. If it be yet in vain. Now, you say suffering. Who is he talking about here? Well, you think about this first century church. You go back and you think about the suffering Paul had. I mentioned earlier when he was going and he was traveling, he was starting these churches in this Galatia area, and this is one of the places where he was stoned. This is many of these places were places he was put in prison. He suffered great persecution. The Jews were bitter enemies of his. The Jews would come in and they would rile up the Gentiles and they would bent on mischief and they caused Paul to be chased from city to city. They stoned him. They left him for dead. And even though the Bible does not record any of Paul's converts being suffering for persecution, we know the Bible says that all that live godly will suffer persecution. And we can only assume that these Christians in Galatia are buckling under after suffering for the faith, suffering for their truth. Paul alludes to the fact that maybe now they were giving in to the Judaizers. They were tired of facing the suffering. They were tired of facing the problem that they were now giving in to the circumcisions and following the Sabbath and following the law. And they wanted to just escape more suffering. And Paul here is trying to encourage them. In verse number 4, he says, regarding your suffering, have you suffered so many things in vain? He's saying, look, the suffering you're doing is, yeah, it might be here and it's going to last. It's going to be there for a while. But compared to glory, the sufferings is nothing. And that's what Paul tells him over and over in different parts of the Bible. If you compare the suffering we do here in this world compared to the glory someday we'll have in heaven, there is no comparison. Yes, you're going to suffer for a little while here in this world. And all who live godly will suffer persecution. But he's saying, is it going to be in vain? He said, are you going to throw in? Are you going to throw in the crowd? Are you going to throw in the towel and give in to them? And what is it that you're going to gain by going underneath their law? They gain nothing. There is nothing that they were going to gain by going under the law. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So what the Bible is saying here is this, look, the just should live by faith. And he says, look, you've lived by faith for this period of time. Now, why in the world are you going to go to the flesh? If the Spirit of God has given you this opportunity time and time again, you've been learning, you've been growing. Now you've listened to these people. They bewitched you. They fooled you. They've hypnotized you into believing something different. Now, what are you going to gain by going back to the flesh? The Bible says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And it's the idea here that there is no pleasure in. God's not going to be pleased with someone. They're going to lose their reward. That's all they're going to do is lose the reward that God would be able to give them. If they were going to remain faithful and serving, they're going to gain a reward. But if they fall back, God says, I'm not going to have pleasure in them. And isn't that what we want to do, is have God be pleased with us? The fifth thing, and this is the last thing, is questions regarding their signs. Question regarding their signs. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I think here they're talking about the Apostle Paul when he came. He says, look, when I was there with you, he says, I was able to work miracles among you. Now, these other guys that are coming in now, what can they do? Can they work miracles? Are they being ministering to you to the Spirit? I mean, this would be a big test. You know, the Apostle Paul, the apostles back then, I had a lot of the sign gifts. I believe Peter, you saw Peter and Paul's testimony. Peter, you know, raised somebody from the bed. Peter's shadow falls on people. People get healed. You know, Peter had these signs. You knew that there was a spirit in Peter. There was something special about Peter. And same thing when Paul came on the scene. Paul worked miracles, and God allowed these sign gifts to go and happen. So when Paul would enter into a city, that he could speak their tongue and he could perform these miracles, that people would realize this is someone who is from God, and this is someone that we should listen to, because not everyone knew Jesus Christ at times. Sometimes he walked into a very dark place where no one had ever heard of Christ, and he would begin teaching and preaching, and these were sign gifts to teach and show the people that he was an apostle. He was someone sent from God. And Paul is saying here in verse number 5, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, when I came and I did these things to you, did I do it according to the works of the law or did I do it according to faith? You think about the man that was in Lystra. I think it was Lystra. There was a man there that was lame from birth. And he could not walk from birth. Now, did Apostle Paul go up to him and say, okay, sir, keep the commandments, worship God, avoid idolatry, do not profane God, keep his name holy, keep the Sabbath, and honor your parents, don't kill, commit adultery, steal, bear a false witness, or covet, and then you'll be healed? No, he didn't say that. He did not say, look, you got to go keep the law. No, but instead he said, believe on God or believe in Jesus Christ. Have faith. And it's the believing that calls the healing. That's right. This is the only explanation of the healing of that lame man. It would take the Spirit of God to heal him. It could not be done according to the law. And that's what Paul is telling him. He's talking about ministering to the Spirit here. He's talking about how he ministered them to sowing the seed. It talked about in 2 Corinthians 9:10. And Paul wants his Galatian friends to remember that the Christian life is a supernatural life. It is not a life that can be explained by our flesh. It cannot be lived in our flesh. It cannot be explained only. It can only be explained in the terms of God. The only explanation for the Christian life is what God can do in a person's life. No such could be claimed the life of the Judaizers. They wanted to initiate and imitate the Christians in Galatia, but they couldn't do it because they didn't have the supernatural Holy Spirit within them. Right. And so here's these questions. Paul comes back to them and says, look, he writes him. He says, look, let me ask you some questions. Let me give you some things to consider. First two chapters, he puts these two things out and he says, these are the reasons. He gave list after list after list why it's not by the law. It's why you cannot keep the law in order to be saved. And chapter number three, this is great. I don't know if you ever try to talk to somebody by asking the questions to get them to think. I know I do that with my children sometimes. Okay, Christian. Now, why'd you do this? Now, if you did this, then why didn't you do it this way? And what I'm trying to do is cause them to come to their own conclusion that what the truth is. I'm sure we've all done that with people before, haven't we? We're trying to teach and trying to train, and that's all Paul is doing here. He goes to them first, and he says, look, who has bewitched you? Who are the people that have come into this church and changed what you believe? I want you to think about those people before anything else. Second thing I want you to think about is your own salvation experience. The time and the moment when you got saved. Now, when you got saved and had the Holy Spirit of God come in your life and the change that was made in your life, did you do it because you kept the law or because you heard by faith? Because if you did it by hearing by faith and the Holy Spirit of God came into your life and you knew there was a change and difference in your life, because if you know that you become a Christian, there's a change, there's a difference in your life. You become a new creature. There's old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then you see the third thing. He says, so, number one, think of those who bewitched you. Secondly, if you got saved by the hearing of the words, think about your sanctification then. Now, if you got saved by hearing and by the Spirit of God, how are you now going to turn back to the flesh? And the flesh, what did you gain? Nothing. How many people were saved by the law? Zero. It says, now you're going to turn back from the law, turn back from the Spirit of God to become a spot where you're going to try to perfect yourself. You had to come to the realization that I can't save myself. But in the law, they teach you have to earn your way. And the fourth thing, he says, think about all the times you suffered. Think about all the battles you have won in your Christian life. Think about all the increases you've had. Yes, you suffer persecution. Yes, these Judaizers have come in and they've caused the problem. They've caused hardship. They caused pain. They caused suffering. He says, but think about all those persecutions. Now, are you going to go and give in to them and all that will be in vain? All the things that you've stands that you've made, all the encouragement maybe you've been to other Christians that are around you by believing and teaching the truth. Now what's going to happen when you turn around and you go and say, okay, yes, these men are right? You're going to lose ground. And the Lord says he's not pleased with that. And last but not least, you think about it when it comes to their signs. You know, if these men are contrary to Paul, and Paul was the one that when he came on the scene and won them to Christ, where's their faith going to be in? And here's your question. Now, the faith is not in Paul. He was a minister that God used. We saw that in 1 Corinthians in our Sunday school class. Paul was saying, it's not him. It's not anything to do with him. It's about Christ that works through him. And that's what we learned last week, is that it's Christ that works in us and Christ that works in our lives. And we praise the Lord for that. We need to let God work through us. It's not what we can work up. It's not what we can accomplish. It's about us laying down our arms, us laying down ourselves and say, Lord, you work through me. You do what you want through me. It's Christ that lives in me. That's the hope of glory. That's the only hope we have, is Christ living in us. And here we see the Galatians have just, they've been fooled. Someone has come in and convinced them wrongly. And Paul is just writing this letter back saying, look, start using your brain. Start thinking. He calls them foolish. He says, are you that foolish? Are you that fool? He's not nice about it. He's saying, do you have to be that dumb? Come on, you're smarter than this. And sometimes we look at it and we see things in our Christian lives, and you just want to take people, you want to shake them and say, look, if you're saved, you knew what happened. You know what you're supposed to do. Why are you going down this pathway? Why are you listening to these people? Why are you even putting up with it? And I know that applies to the teaching of the doctrines, but we can even apply that to our own lives too. There are probably some things in our lives that we are doing that's contrary to what God might want us to do. And what the Holy Spirit God wants to do, he wants to take us and shake us and say, what are you thinking? Are you that dumb? Are you really? Come on, you're smarter than that. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He speaks to you. You shouldn't be doing these things. You should grow up and start doing what's right. And that's what he's telling to this church of Galatia. He's probably being a little bit nicer than what I am right this second. But he's saying, come on, you know better. And I think the same truth that we can put in our lives today is that we know better in some areas too. There's some things that maybe we should be working on that we just choose to ignore. Or choose to say, oh, so-and-so believes this, or so-and-so says this. And we allow people who are unsaved, unregenerated, to influence us and influence our lives. That's not the right thing to do. So let me encourage you tonight. You know, there are some piercing questions that Paul asked these men and these ladies in Galatia. Ask yourself some of these questions tonight. And if there's something that you don't know or you're not sure about, get in your Bible, learn, study, read. Let God speak to your heart. Because if we're Christians here tonight, the Holy Spirit of God lives within us and wants to live through us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With the time.